The words of Jesus are so powerful. They have so much life. Jesus actually had to stop talking before he could die. This is Tony Broom Ministries, presenting the following Bible sermon entitled, He Had to Stop Talking. Jesus said, pray that thy will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and make sure that we're part of making that happen. Jesus was on trial in front of the high priest and then in front of Pilate, and both were really a setup. The mock trial, if there ever was one, this was a mock trial. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 12 to 14, when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. He had to stop talking. That's our topic today. He had to stop talking. Because if he had continued talking when he was on trial, he would have set himself free. Absolutely, Jesus would have set himself free by the pure and true words that he spoke. His words are so powerful. His words are so truthful. I think about the words that I say sometimes. My wife says, what in the world are you talking about? I said, never mind, I'm just answering the television, which is a dangerous and probably an unprofitable thing to do, is answer the television. Because, first of all, the television cannot hear me. It makes me feel a little bit better to say what I got to say. But so many of my words, they may not be bad words or curse words or something like that, but they are so unprofitable and vain. I think about how many words and things that I talk about are so unprofitable and vain. And the Lord tells us about that. He tells us about the corrupt communication that proceeds out of our mouth, or if it's not corrupt, it's at least to the point where it doesn't edify anybody. It doesn't do anybody much of any good. Let your words be seasoned with salt, that it may minister grace to the hearers, that it may edify and build up somebody. The words that we speak, and of course the Proverbs verse, there's power in the tongue, power of life and power of death. Both reside in the tongue. The tongue is able to speak words of life and death. And those who love it will eat the fruit thereof, it says. In other words, you will go one way or the other, speak life or either speak death. We have the power. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's a wonderful thing, but it's a scary thing to think how much power that we have to speak life or death. We can speak negativity, we can speak insults, we can speak things that would bring people down, we can speak gossip, we can speak all kinds of things that would hurt people. But we also have the power to speak good. And we have power to speak that which will build up and edify. And it's so important in the new creation, the new man, that we speak that which is good to the use of edifying. So Jesus, his words are so powerful. Every word that he spoke. And this is what led me to think about talking about the TV and talking about the vain and unprofitable talk. I was thinking about the words of Jesus, even his street words. And he didn't have a lot of churches to go to. He went to the synagogue and all that, but he didn't have churches and things like we do to go to. A lot of his stuff and most of his ministry was done on the street. So he had what you call a lot of street talk. Our street talk is not like his street talk. Our street talk is more slang, or more at least earthly, or hey, hip, hey, man, and all this. But his street talk, his everyday talk, his words were so powerful and so potent, so dynamite. Truth, life, and power were in every word that he spoke. And when he stood before Pilate, I was thinking about this. I first became a Christian. I began to read my Bible. And I said, why in the world doesn't he say something? How can he just stand up there and not say anything? All these things are accusing. They're going against him. And he just sits there and doesn't say anything. And I'm saying, why in the world does he not say something? It really got me fretted because Jesus just stood up there and let them hurl insults at him and spit upon him and beat him and do all these things. And he didn't say anything. They accused him falsely. Every accusation they brought against him was false. Of course, he never did anything that they accused him of. And everything that they brought against him was false. And he stood there, and as a Negro spiritual said, he never said a mumbling word. All the suffering, all the shame. Peter said it like this, when he suffered, he threatened not. He did not revile. When they reviled him, he did not revile again, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. He didn't say, when I get off this cross, you just wait, I'm going to get you. He didn't say any of that. He actually had to stop talking from setting himself free. If he had kept on talking before Pilate and before the scribes and chief priests, he would have set himself free. But he didn't do it. He went all the way for you and I. Mark chapter 14, verse 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Woo! Hallelujah. You talking about speaking. They always say wise men, they may not speak much, but the words that they speak are powerful and weighty. That's what it is about Christ. He may not have said a lot, but what he said was powerful. What he said was dynamite. It did something. It was able to accomplish something. And Jesus talked when it was necessary to talk. He spoke in this case because when it comes to defending his deity and his Father and the Godhead in heaven, when he was put on the stand about, who are you? Are you the Christ? He couldn't deny it, and he said, I am. That I am is a New Testament version of I am. In the Old Testament, Moses said, What will I tell them your name is? God said, Yehyeh Asher Yehyeh. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. This is a New Testament version of that. Jesus said, I am. You will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He had to stop talking to keep the kingdom from coming immediately. If he had kept on talking, the kingdom would have just immediately come, because that's how powerful his words are. He is the Word. He not just speaks the Word, he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He speaks God's Word. He is God's Word. He is the active person of the written Word of God. In Luke chapter 23, verse 8, And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Herod was this Roman puppet who was used to go against Christ, and he was there. Oh, I'm glad you came. I'm glad to see you. He just wanted to see him perform a miracle. He just wanted to see him do something like magic. He had no interest in Christ whatsoever. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him, and he still answered nothing. He had to stop talking to keep from answering the foolishness of the wicked fox Herod. They told Jesus one time, they said, Don't you know Herod's going to try to kill you? He said, You go tell that fox that I'll do cures. I'll do healing and cures today and tomorrow and cast out devils in the day following. I must walk today and tomorrow and the day after that. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He said, You go tell that fox I still got some work to do. And when Pilate sent him to Herod, because Jesus was known to be a Galilean, he was of Herod's jurisdiction. So Pilate, he thought he'd get off the hot seat and send Jesus to Herod. Let him take care of him. Well, Herod questioned with him, and Jesus didn't answer him a word. He had nothing to say to that wicked fox, Herod. That's why he just had to stop talking. John chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. No man took Jesus' life from him. He had the power to lay it down, and he had the power to take it again. Chapter 19, verse 7. The Jews answered him, and they're talking to Pilate now, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou? Where are ye from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Why are you not talking to me? What do you mean not answering me?" And he was rather irate against our Lord. He spoke against him. "What are you doing not talking to me? Don't you know I have power to crucify you, and I have power to let you go?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered thee unto me hath the greater sin." Jesus actually talked to Pilate more than he did any of the discourse of the other Gospels. You can read in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And then when you get to John, you'll find in especially chapter 18 more of a discourse between he and Pilate than the other Gospels have. He talked to Pilate about his kingdom is not of this world, and those who are of the truth hear my voice. And Pilate said, "What's truth?" So he walked off. So there was more dialogue, but there were times when Jesus didn't answer him. Pilate said, "Where are you from?" Well, how are you going to answer that? He couldn't say he was from heaven, because that would set him free. He couldn't just say, "Well, I'm from Bethlehem," because that would be earthly. He couldn't say, "Well, I'm from Nazareth," or "I'm from Galilee." About like asking a preacher. If you ask a preacher, "Where's he from?" what's he going to say? "Well, I'm from North Carolina." "Oh, you were born in North Carolina." "Oh, no. Well, before I was in North Carolina, I was in South Carolina." "Okay, so you were born in South Carolina." "No, well, we actually came from Arkansas." "Well, okay, well, you were born in Arkansas." "No, I was in Missouri before that." "Well, where are you born?" "Well, I was born in California, but I call Texas my home." So it just goes on and on. You never ask a preacher where he's from, because a preacher's like a politician. He's always got a different answer he can give you where he's from. It's according on what the church is doing, where he is now, whether he likes it or not. That's why he'll tell you he's from there or not. When you say, "Jesus, where are you from?" he gave him no answer. "What are you doing not answering me? Don't you realize that I have power to crucify you, and I have power to let you go?" Jesus said, "You could have no power at all against me, except it were given you from above." God was in charge. God was in control. This world, and there's a teaching out now that says the sovereignty of God, that's on one side of the spectrum, and then all this mess that's going on in the world, the other side of the spectrum. So which is true? This world says, "Well, God is not in control." If God were in control, things would be a whole lot better. And yet the sovereignty of God says, "Well, yes, God is in control. The scripture said that his throne is in the heavens and he rules over all." Well, which one is true? Well, there are elements in which both are true. It's true that there are a lot of things in this world that God is not controlling today. He's not reigning over a lot of things in this world because people will not allow him. They won't let him. But actually, theologically, biblically, God is in control. I mean, if God is not in control, who is? If God's not in control, the devil must have took over. Or somebody died and left him. God, nobody did. God is still in control. Even the devil is on a tether. He can only go so far. And he's doing a pretty good or pretty bad, whichever way you want to look at it, job right now. But he has limits. This world, the political parties, the governments of this world, They can do what they want to a certain extent, but there are limits. God is still in control. So if you hear the teaching that says there's no sovereignty of God and God is not in control, He is. Even though this world is turned upside down and things are going bad, we cannot blame God for that. It's not God's fault. We're the ones who ate off the tree. God is still in control. And Jesus, there in the trial, He was the master. They didn't think He was, but He was. He was still in control right there in Pilate's judgment hall. And now He's on the cross. John 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. He had to stop talking to keep from staying alive. Do you know that if Jesus had kept on talking, He would have stayed alive? He had to stop talking so the scripture could be fulfilled. The scripture said He would die, and He had to stop talking. Just think of it. He had to literally stop talking before He could die. Now that's power, brother and sister. He had to literally stop talking before He could die. In the last part of John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus had said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." His words have so much power and life that as long as He had continued talking, He would have stayed alive. He would have been alive on the cross right now today if He had not stopped talking. He had to stop talking before He could die. He actually relinquished His own spirit to the Father by saying in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. He had power over His own life. He had to speak. He had to relinquish His spirit to the Father before He could die. Now you're talking about power. You're talking about Godhead, deity in charge. Yes, He was truly man, and He was suffering in pain and agony on that cross, but He was fully God too. And He had to actually relinquish His spirit to the Father before He would die. He had to stop talking. Thank God He did. There was times when they wondered whether He would come down, as the song said, from that cruel tree. But He didn't come down. He stayed on the cross for you, and He stayed on the cross for me. And I'm glad that He did. I'm glad that He gave Himself a supreme sacrifice. Certainly, it was a hard thing to go through, but He went all the way. He set His face like a flint and never allowed anything to keep Him from His purpose. If He had given up, He could have called 10,000 angels to come and set Him free. But as the song said, He stayed on the cross for you, and He stayed on the cross for me. Thank God. He had to stop talking. And according to this world, He's still not talking. They don't believe He's saying anything. They don't believe in His existence. If they do believe in Him, they believe that He was just a historical figure, a man who lived and once upon a time and died, and now He is no more. Some of them may believe that He was certainly a good teacher, but that was about it. But they don't believe in His deity. They don't believe in His lordship. They don't believe in His divinity. They don't believe He is Christ. They don't believe He is the Son of God, God the Son. But you and I believe. We know Him. Father in heaven, thank You for the opportunity to present this word. Jesus had to stop talking so that Your plan and purpose could be fulfilled. And I pray today that You would help us to stop talking when we need to, speak up when You want us to. Help us to know the difference. Help us to have the Holy Spirit of God to allow Him to come into our life and to control our tongue and to help us to know when to say and when not to say, and what to say and what not to say. Lord, we certainly need Your help. We are so fallible. We're so human. In this point, we come so short. James said, if a man offend not in tongue, he's a perfect man. And we're far from that today, Lord, I know. But You allowed Christ, the perfect God, the perfect man, You allowed Him to speak when He needed to speak and to be quiet when He needed not to say anything. He had to stop talking, and He did, and He died for us, and He rose again. And I thank You for that, Lord. I pray that many would come to the realization of knowing this wonderful Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Bible sermon entitled, He Had to Stop Talking. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. He will talk to you in fellowship with you every day. This has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.